Good. Well, this, I guess, what is it? The 14th. What day is the 14th? Is that Thursday? You guys ready for Thursday? Yeah. Gentlemen, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Your wife's going to be asking you, where's the love? I'm going to ask you to do me a favor this morning. When you walk out of services today, I've had a chance to talk with our brother Warren, who is a fine photographer and takes pictures for us here for the church. And as you go out this morning, outside of worship, when we're done this morning, I would ask each one of you to just take a look to the left and look at our picture board and see if your picture is there. And if your picture is not there, I would like you to see Brother Warren and meet him in our photography studio back there in the chapel and get your picture taken so we can get your picture up there. I'm going to mention a couple of names. I've already told them, so it's not like I'm telling on them right now, but I'm going to remind the Chestnuts that that's one family that needs to get their picture there. And and Carol's looking at me, shaking her head. Yep, Carol's another one. So if you don't see your picture there, we want your picture there. So help us out with that, if you will. And then I'm going to ask something else of you this morning. Some of you know, probably most of you, if not all of you know, that my wife and I are going to be at the Phoenix Airport at 4:30 today, Lord willing, and we're going to be getting on a plane to the Philippines, and we're going to be 16 hours in the air with about 8 hours worth of layovers. And when we land in, after taking three planes to get there, when we land in Manila, we're going to be picked up by our team there and taken 5 hours to the city of Colossae, much like the Colossians that you read in the Bible. And so, with all those hours of travel, would you pray that God would grab the steering wheel and that He would make sure that our transportation goes as it should? And then pray for us to have success as we try to open the hearts and open the doors of the Filipino people there in that country, 93 million people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be with a team from We Care Ministries. Larry West is the director from the Whites Ferry Road Church of Christ in Louisiana. Pray for our team of about 7 of us there. And we're going to be conducting campaigns, and we're going to be doing seminars, training the Filipinos there how to share the gospel with others, and then, of course, knocking doors and trying to get people into Christ. So please pray for us if you will. Well, again, this Thursday, I think it is Valentine's Day. So I always like to try to do a sermon about love somewhere near Valentine's Day, usually before. And so I would ask you this morning to have your Bibles open to the scripture reading that was read earlier in 1 John chapter 3. If you would like to find the book of 1 John, it's very easy. Just look right before 2 John. Just crack somewhere towards the book of Revelation, you'll find 1 John chapter 3 eventually. And then when you find that text and you follow along with us this morning, you can also follow along in the outline that's placed in your bulletin as we ask this question this morning: where's the love? It was at a very low point in the life of the Apostle Peter when Peter had denied Jesus 3 times after Jesus then raised from the dead. He came to Peter, and Peter probably, I'm imagining, when he saw Jesus, was still feeling bad about having denied Jesus 3 times. It was then that Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" I don't know why, but as the worldly side of me goes, I always think of that song, "Do you love me?" You know, and but this was not that kind of happy, you know, cheerful. It was like, "Let's get serious about this, Peter. Where's your level of love, Peter? Do you love me?" And Jesus asked him that. If not once was bad enough, he asked them that 3 times. And since Peter failed Jesus by denying him 3 times, that was a very important question for Peter. Imagine this: if you had done something, and maybe you can identify with this, If you had done something against God, you had really blown it, you'd really stepped out of line, you'd really gone off in the area of sin, you'd done something that really grieved the heart of God, how would you feel if God were to ask you that question? Do you love me? Under any circumstances, if God were to look at your service to Him and ask you the question, where's the love? How would that make you feel? What would you think about? You know, in our generation today, the Church of Jesus Christ on this planet, sadly, is failing God in many ways. The Lord's Church, if you don't know this, is in a serious state of decline in our generation. We are struggling to just get people to come through the doors and sit in these pews. We are struggling then, once we get them in the pews and want them to love God more, we're struggling to try to get them involved. Just ask the leadership of this congregation whenever we're trying to get people to help with a particular activity. And none of that is meant to put some kind of guilt trip on you this morning. That's just the way it is. We definitely, this is a very up-to-date question. When we ask the question, where's the love? Peter, do you love me? Like Peter, we are not where we should be in our service to God. Even the Church of Christ that meets right here at Southwest, we are lacking many times in our love to God, if we will admit it. We have many times lost our zeal for lost souls. We struggle to meet our budget. We have a challenge many times before us to try to retain our youth. Just ask our youth minister, trying to get the young parents to bring their children to activities. And we struggle in a lot of areas many times. As you probably do the math every once in a while, we generally have about 150 here on Sunday mornings. And then if you were to look out at the crowd on Sunday night, you'd see about 50. From 100 down to 50, and then on Wednesday nights, maybe another 50. And, you know, these numbers are very real, but they're not just numbers. We're talking about souls. And we're talking about our love for God. And there are other things that certainly would prompt God, I believe, to ask the question, where's the love? I think it's a very fair question that God would ask. Jesus was once asked what the greatest commandment was. And I love the way it was brought out. Gary, thanks for planning it as you planned our PowerPoint this morning. I love the fact that you put in there this question that Jesus was asked by a lawyer of all things, one who knew the law. And he says, listen, I want to talk law. He says, listen, if you were to pick the greatest law, the greatest commandment, the greatest thing that you could do for God, the lawyer said, what would it be? And Jesus, you know, said what? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second, he says, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. Think about it. That's the greatest commandment. It's a four-letter word, and it's a good four-letter word. Love. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the most important thing that you could ever offer to God in this short time that you will walk on this planet, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor. And I have no doubt that each of you here this morning would say to God, God, just like Peter did, you know, God, you know that I love you. I try my best. I love you. I want to love you more. Yes, God, I love you. And yes, I know I need to love you more. We would probably answer the same way that Peter did. In sincerity, that's the way you feel about your relationship with God. So you would answer like Peter, you know, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I really want to love you more. Now, Jesus didn't deny that Peter had the feeling of love. And you and I today could say, you know, I really feel like I want to love God. We certainly have the feeling of love. But Jesus told Peter, if that's true, he said, if you look at John 20, he looked at Peter, he says, I want you to prove it. If you love me, I want you to prove it. He says, I want you to tend my sheep. He says, I want you to feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. And God wants us to prove our love for Him as well today. Today I want us to look at three things, three ways that you can put your love into action. That you can not just have love be a feeling that you have toward God and even toward others, but you'll have a love that puts some feet on it, some shoes on it, a love that will really live in this world that we live in today. So here's the three things. When we ask the question, where's the love? Here's how love is shown. Three significant ways. And we're going to see this in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Love is shown through sacrifice. Love is shown through giving. And love is shown through actions. So let's look at each of these a little closer. First of all, love is shown through sacrifice. The Apostle Paul or John, the apostle of love, who wrote this love letter. It really, 1 John chapter 4 is all about love. When he wrote about love, he said this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, matching with John 3, 16. He says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Christ showed the ultimate sacrifice in putting forth His love toward us. He gave the ultimate act of sacrifice. He came into the world. He lived a flawless life, which means that in living His life, He was not only sinless, but in living that sinless life, He never did anything that was worthy of death. And the penalty, the Bible says, the penalty of sin is death. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. You sin, you die. Not you sin 5 million times, you sin once and you die. And it's not even as convenient as, hey, the heart stops beating, you don't exist anymore. No, that's not death. Look at the Bible. When you see death in the Bible, death, the word death means separation. And so when it's saying the soul that sins, it shall die, it's not saying all of a sudden physically the heart stops beating. But what it's talking about is the word death means separation. There is a separation between you and your Creator. That sin separates you from God. We all deserve that death. And the only way out of that death is for a perfect man to come and live a sinless life and then pay that penalty for us so we don't have to die. He died for us. He paid that penalty. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. And Jesus didn't have to do this. We see in the Bible that He willingly chose to do this for us. As a man, He had the ability to sin, and He had the ability actually to choose a path other than the cross. And He shows us His humanity and shows us that He had that path to choose. He could have chose other than the cross by even at the very minute before He is going to go to the cross, He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. I really, as a human, I don't want to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. I've lived perfectly, and you're asking me to die for a planet of all these sinners out here, the ones that will forever live on this planet for the short time they'll live here. You want me to die for them? Let this cup pass from me. You know, we have to understand. Even as, you know, because sometimes we get real comfortable with religion. And we kind of come to the point where we think, well, that's just the way it was supposed to go. That's the storyline. It was written that way. There was no other way it was going to go. He came here and boy, He was going to go to the cross and He was going to die and He was going to raise from the dead. And all that's just pre-programmed stuff. Nothing that it was, but we have to realize that was a choice that Jesus made for us. It's very real that He could have chosen the other way. And even as the devil, the tempter, is tempting him to not have to go through this, but just to get it all without dying for us. Jesus could have done it that way, but he didn't. He chose the cross. He stayed on the cross and he made the ultimate sacrifice, feeling the pain of a planet full of sins and being separated, yes, separated from God, forsaken by God for a short period of time, because he even says, my God, why have you forsaken me? God didn't ultimately forsake him because he raised him from the dead. But Jesus had the feeling of being forsaken, separated from God because of your sins and my sins. He was forsaken by God in that way. And that's how Jesus Christ demonstrated his love toward us. Love, you see, is an act of sacrifice. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As Jim quoted earlier when we were taking the communion in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him, through what he did, through his sacrifice. And so, if you were to ask God, where's the love? He would say, at Calvary, where my son died for you. Oh yes, God has plenty of love for us. And it was a sacrifice. And so because of that love, let me tell you again, God has every right to look at each of us as individuals today and say, like he did to Peter, where's the love? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the love that you have for me? He asked you to make some sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices, you might ask? Well, it's very simple. I'll put it to you this way. Much like Jesus did, the sacrifice that God is asking you to make is to lay down your life. That's right. He gave his life for you. You want to live your life for you. The Bible says you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, you see, a sacrifice, and live your life not for you, but to live it for God. And that's going to be a sacrifice. When you deny self, you say, I'll live for you, God, today, tomorrow, and the next day, that's your sacrifice. You know, my wife and I, we've had some very good friends who are house parents, and we knew them in Gallup, New Mexico. And at that time, they had been house parents for 25 years. They had two children of their own, and they had many, many other Navajo children that they raised and then sent out into the world. That they put sweat and tears and energy and sacrifice into raising those children as if they were their own. They laid down their lives for these. Love is an act of sacrifice. Anytime you have the opportunity to sacrifice for someone, you have the opportunity to show love. You have the opportunity to ask or answer God's question, where's the love? What kind of sacrifices are you making in your life right now to show love for God? The most important thing that you can sacrifice many times, and it's an expensive commodity, unfortunately, is simply, when we talk about giving your life, it means giving your time. Just giving your time for someone. The most important thing you can sacrifice for someone is your time. To lay down your life for others is to give up your life for them, to give up your time for them. You're going to be called upon sometime this week to give up your time, to give your life to someone. I'll tell you what, it pulls on my heartstrings when I'm sitting there wanting to do something for me, and I'm on my computer, and my granddaughter comes up, Papa, Papa, and she wants to play, and I want to do something else. And it's, but that's what's, and that's a small sacrifice. That should come natural to us, that we would want to give up our time for this little one, for anyone who would ask our time from us. Time that you'd rather spend maybe relaxing on the computer, watching TV, whatever it might be. Time that you would rather spend on yourself. And you have that time to give up. You have time that you can spend with your church family as you're doing this morning. That was a bit of a sacrifice. You could have stayed in, slept in, watched some TV, done some things around the house. But you came to say, God, I want to give you my time today. And that's a sacrifice, and God wants more of that. You will be making a statement of love when you make these choices, when you choose to make these kinds of sacrifices. If you choose not to lay down your life, then God will be asking you the question, where's the love? Where's the love? Love is an act of sacrifice. Number two, love is also shown through giving. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, I want you to focus on that, shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Boy, there's another one of those questions God is asking us today. How does the love of God abide in you? When you've got material things and you shut up your heart and you're not willing to give to someone else, how can you say, God, I love you, when He puts people right in front of you to say, love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. And you would give to that person. Give them of your goods and not shut up your heart from them. And say to God, God, I love you. I'm going to show it through giving. You know, if we really love others, we need to give of our material things. And some of us are in very tight economic challenges right now in our families. There are lots of opportunities, though, even within these situations, even when if you are struggling financially, do you know that sometimes God's going to ask you to do something for someone when you yourself are going through your own storm. And that will be the test of your love, to see if you're willing to say, I know I'm having it tough over here, but that's not going to stop me from giving to this person who needs it right over here. You know, I've been blessed with a lot of good situations in my life, and we're having some money struggles a little bit here and there, and I'm not going to get too personal, but we recently had to put $5,000 down for dental work, and we didn't have that, so of course we're on loan. But it was at that time, here I'm owing $5,000 for dental work, and yet my sister has a need. She needs a car to survive in this world, and so the question, can I help? Well, you know what? I don't have that kind of money, but I can loan it. I can try to do what I can. And so, yeah, that's giving. That's a sacrifice to do that. And then later on, I found out my aunt came in and got car insurance for her as well, paid for her car insurance. She didn't have that kind of money, but you know what? She's somebody right in front of me. This is someone that I'm really looking at saying, am I, look at the text here again in verse 17, am I going to shut up my heart from that individual when it is within my power to help them? That's what this giving is about. Once again, God showed this Himself when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 that the love of God was manifested toward us in that He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And in verse 6, John 3:16, it lets us know that God so loved the world that He what? Gave. God so loved the world that He gave. And not just any old ordinary gift. He gave His only Son. See, He so loved the world. How much did He love the world? He gave His only begotten Son. And that's how much God loved sinners. Love is shown through giving. And so, what are you giving to others, and what are you giving to God in your life? That's a fair question. I'm asking again the question, where's the love? Well, what are you giving to others? What are you giving to God? Are you giving to others your material things, your hard-earned cash? Are you giving to God your money and your material blessings as you try to bless others as well? And when God looks at your giving, He is asking you this question, where's the love? And remember, your love is shown through sacrifices. It is also shown through your giving. Now, I want to get back to this phrase. Notice in the verse up there, this phrase about shutting up your heart from someone. Why does God want you to be a giver? I'll tell you why God wants you to be a giver. Because giving is a matter of your heart. Did you know that? That's really what it's about. God, listen, God's got enough money. He doesn't need your pocket change, okay? He's doing just fine materially. But you know something He wants? Something that He created in you. He wants your heart. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, giving is a matter of the heart. It's how you show compassion. It's how you open up your heart to someone. Not giving to others, as it states here in verse 17, is equivalent to shutting up your heart. We need to have compassion on others, and we prove it by giving to them. Jesus pointed this out, you remember, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Here was a man who helped another man, and guess what? It took up his time, and it took up his heart, showing his compassion. He had to stop doing what he was doing, go and bandage the man, put him on his animal, take him to a place where he could stay, an inn, and then even go to the inn and say, you know, I'll go above and beyond that. I'm so compassionate, I'm willing not to shut up my heart, but to give my heart to this man, that you know what? I'm leaving, but whatever he continues to incur a bill, put that on my bill. I'll take care of it. He showed compassion on that man who was beaten and left to die. Jesus told the parable. He got the lawyer to realize that loving God and loving others is really what life is all about. And when the lawyer asked him about loving your neighbor, Jesus told him it's about having compassion on those who are in need. And that feeling of compassion must materialize in us actually showing compassion through concrete actions. The Good Samaritan gave of himself, his time, his possessions. What are you willing to give to others? And what are you willing to give to God? If you see others in need and you shut up your heart from them and not giving them what they need, again, the question is, does the love of God really live in you? Where's the love? We show through sacrifice, we show it through giving as well, and number three, we show our love. We show it through actions. In 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 18. See, it's not just giving, and it's not just sacrificing, it's everything we do. He says here, very succinctly, He says, my children, that's us, He says, let us not love. You think, well, let us not love? Yeah, let us not love in just word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, we've got to get past the idea that love is a feeling. That's what our modern world is teaching people today. Love is a feeling. Boy, if you can get in the sack with someone and have a feeling, that's love, man. You're getting, you know, or you know, love is just something that's, you know, stirring your heart, something that's driving your passions. Love is just a feeling. Well, there are people in our lives that we have strong feelings for, And we would call those feelings, feelings of love for them. But without corresponding actions, those feelings actually mean nothing. That's what the Apostle John of Love is saying right here in this verse 18. They mean nothing at all. You say that you have feelings for people. You say that you have feelings of love for people. But I want to ask you a question. Show me a feeling. What does it look like? Show me a feeling. That's not love. How would you see love? Through actions. It's obvious. When it comes to expressing love, feelings and words are not enough. We must show our love in action. And we're told right here in 1 John 3:18 that we shouldn't just love in word or in tongue, but in deeds, which are, of course, our actions, things that we do. Love is expressed in acts of kindness and goodness. You know, I know someone who knew of someone who was working in a center for abused women. And the comment that she hears again and again from these women who decide to go back to an abusive husband, the comment that they hear, well, I know he loves me. Really? Yeah, you might think that he loves you through feelings, right? I know he really loves me. Well, I guess that what they mean is that deep down inside, this abusive man has some kind of feelings of love for them, but their relationship cannot be called love because love does not express itself through abuse. Ladies, know that today. Understand that. Maybe you're a young lady in our audience today that one day will get married and you'll one day be in relationships with men. And if there's any signs of abuse and he's not treating you like the queen that God made you, that's not love. Love means respect and honor and kindness and just wanting the best for somebody. You see, that's true love. Love is not expressed through disregard or ignoring someone or abusing someone. Whether or not you love someone is determined by how you treat them. Love is not a feeling. Love is something that you do. It means treating someone with kindness and goodness and dignity and respect because they deserve that. They've been created in the image of God. You wouldn't treat God that way, and you wouldn't abuse God. So why would you abuse someone else who's made in the image of God? You wouldn't just say in your heart, well, I feel like I love them. You would show it in actions. Love is expressed through acts of kindness and goodness. You know, we're pretty good when it comes to talking about love. Even sometimes feeling love. We're sometimes good at that. But the Bible says, don't love people with just words. Don't even love them with a feeling. Love them with actions. Show them your love through acts of sacrifice, acts of giving, and acts of kindness and compassion. How much do you love others? How much do you love God? You know something? I'll tell you something right now. You love others best when you love God most. If He's the one you would love the most, it trickles on down, and then you'll begin to love others best. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love Him best or most, and you will love others best as well. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. What if God were to ask you this morning, where's the love? How would you answer? I want you to answer right now in your own mind. Answer to God. He's asking you, where's the love? How would you answer? Can God see your love today? Do you love His people? Do you love His church? Do you love those whom He has created? Do you love the Bible? Do you love worship? Do you love the things of God? When you love God, then you'll begin to love. And it will show it also in the way that you love others. God loved you enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to come for you and die for you so you might have eternal life. Are you willing to come to Him today? Are you willing to say, God, I can't refuse a gift like that, a gift of love. That's how much You love me. I want in on that. I want salvation. I want to come to Jesus. He's God's Son. He wants to be your Savior today. Believe that He died for you, that He rose again. And today, repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to Acts 2:38 for the remission of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in love will be poured out upon you. We're extending that invitation right now. Or maybe you're here as a child of God. And my question to you is, are you serving God faithfully? Are you showing your love for Him? Let's stand to sing our invitation song.